This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
As we continue, the tunnels. And I assume, do the tunnels also have just walkways, or do they have some kind of instrumentation for traveling, like a little motorbike or something, or a cart?
My experience has been that most of the tunnels are for utilities, and that's readily available if you get on base. A lot of the buildings complexes have basements, and there's tunnels underneath them where the hallways connect, and you can literally go underneath streets or go building the building. It's just the convenience. Most of those are more of the uppity-ups, generals' quarters and stuff. So in the wintertime, they're not walking outside going to another building. You know,
but strictly walking, they don't have carts or rails or anything?
No. The buildings are all clustered together within, 50 feet of each other. So there's really no need for that.
Let's get into the great legends of Roswell investigation. And number one, of course, is the one that we talk about. Let's say this was a crash spaceship. We've got the wreckage. Would there be anything there that relates to the machinery of transport? Would they try to reverse engineer something? Would there have been efforts to reverse engineer it, and would it have been successful? And I'm not talking about the Philip Corso, William Burns book, The Day After Roswell, because it's kind of nonsensical. But in the real world, reverse engineering, what have you heard?
Well, reverse engineering goes on pretty much in every company in the world and every military in the world and anyone who's trying to understand either what their competition is doing and how to do it better. If you have adversaries, what it is you're going to have to contend with. So reverse engineering goes on all over the planet, and I would think that Wright-Patterson would be no exception, especially if they had something like, this exotic metal that they found in the desert outside Corona. They would clearly run all the tests on it, try to do an elemental analysis, do some other things, and then go, okay, what does this mean to us? Oh, well, geez, this means that this metal won't melt when it's going 35,000 miles an hour through space. It means something else. So clearly, those type of things would go on at the base.
Currently, you have three books out. Why don't you let our audience know the titles of your books and where they can find them?
Well, the books are a trilogy, and they're called the Alien Shades of Grey's Trilogy. The first book, it happenstance. I wasn't going to write a book. I had a lot of interesting things to say. I had some really cool experiences, and I wanted to share it. My objective in writing that book was to give an introduction to the topic that's kind of humorous, more laid back, isn't as dark as the topic can be. So it's called Evidence of Extraterrestrial Visitation to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and Beyond. Yeah, I know it sounds like a PhD thesis, but it's really not. It's a funny book. It's been endorsed on the cover by four of the top ufologists, Nick Pope, Preston Dennett, and others, and they all agree it's laugh-out-loud funny, but it's insightful. And the second book is like when Indiana Jones took a dark turn and they did the Temple of Doom. Well, my second book is Victoria's Secret Truth, and it's a story about a family that has had contact with entities that highly resemble insectoids, greys, those type of things. The book follows their story since childhood and has photographs of all the physical evidence that they shared with me. And then the final book, which is my opus, is called Swamp Gas, My Ass. And in 1966, southeastern Michigan was being inundated with flying saucers. In March of 1966, Project Blue Book sent their chief debunker, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, to the Ann Arbor area to try to debunk it all, because Representative Ford and Representative Vivians from the area, were their offices were just being overrun with calls by the Air Force, by police officers, all the other first responders. So Hynek comes in. He spends 2 days investigating. 25th of March, he holds a massive press conference, and he says, folks, it's marsh gas. Well, in 2020, I tracked down a pilot for the United States Air Force who was stationed at Selfridge Air Force Base in southeastern Michigan, literally a stone's throw from where all these flying saucers were going around, and he told me an interesting story. He told me that in March of 1966, he and his wingman intercepted one of those flying saucers that eventually became known as a swamp gas UFO. So I interviewed him for over 30 hours. I got the memoirs of his wingman through the wingman's family because he had passed. I used formerly top secret Umbra NSA documents to document some of the stories he told me. And it is the true story of the swamp gas UFOs. And all of these books are available on Amazon.
Let's go back to the first book here, because your subtitle is Evidence of Extraterrestrial Visitation to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and Beyond. So far, what we're talking about here is recovering metallic fragments of something that crashed at near Roswell, New Mexico. How do we take the stretch, then, that this material represents an extraterrestrial craft?
Yeah, you know, I guess you could call that literary license. It's only because just about everybody in ufology that's ever studied the case has connected that material to extraterrestrials. So it's really not a stretch. I guess 95% of the ufology people have made that connection.
But what is Ray's connection? What do you think?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that we have been visited by extraterrestrials, if you will. Maybe not in that case. Maybe you know, those were drones. I don't know. There was that story that came out 30 years later that they were, you know, flown by extraterrestrials. So to me, it's really not a stretch. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a possibility that there's a drone, but I think there's a better possibility that it was actually, the craft was actually brought here with an occupant.
You wouldn't think it could possibly be something that was a test aircraft from someone.
Not a chance.
Okay, so the wreckage may have stayed at Wright-Patterson, but could have been sent off elsewhere. We have no idea where. Private industry, whatever. It could still be worked on today.
Absolutely. In 100 different locations.
After all these years, what? After 75 years. After 75 years since the original event.
Well,
what do we know?
Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is, after 75 years after the original event, do you think at this point we know stuff? Or is this something that has remained incomprehensible to people?
I think we know a heck of a lot more, because as our testing capabilities increase, our knowledge would certainly increase. You know, nowadays, they can, for $25,000, you can buy a gun and point it at a piece of metal, and within a few percentage points, it'll give you a full elemental analysis of what that is made out of. You know, years ago, they had to run a lot of chemistry against those metals to find out what they were comprised of. So, you know, as our testing technology has increased, we certainly know a lot more about it. Now, can we manufacture what we found yet? I don't know. We don't hear a lot about that. You do hear a lot about, well, you know, it's got all of these strange elements in this strange mixture, and we don't know how to make that in a stable configuration.
We have more to come with Raymond And Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
One thing I always think about here, even the military tends to look at things short-term or a few years hence. We have something here that happened 75 years ago, but the investigation is still consistent, fits and starts, put away for a few years and picked up again. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not qualified to answer that. I was never in the loop.
But what do you think?
Well, it depends on how much we've been able to learn about it. And, you know, when these reports come in, you know, just recently, you know, all those videos that came out, and they clocked the object at 80,000 feet, and it hit the water in like 1.5 seconds, and they calculate the speed, and they say it's, you know, 35,000 miles an hour, and it doesn't put off a heat signature, for example. Well, geez, how's that being done? Is that object exterior shell part of the secret? So, you know, as these new factoids come in, do the people who have those pieces of metal now go, okay, well, this is a new problem we need to work on. We know what it's made out of, but, you know, maybe it's energized in this fashion or that fashion, and that's how the shell isn't putting off a heat signature and isn't melting going 40,000 miles an hour. So there's probably just a lot more to learn. Do we know it all about them? I have no idea. But if we don't, then it's great that we've got some of those materials and we can continue testing.
In your book, Alien Shades of Gray, you actually get out there and do the footwork and interview quite a few people. I know you interviewed Travis Walton, people involved with the Rendlesham Forest case. Why don't you tell us about some of these interviews that you did for your book? And, I mean, you know, anything revealed to you that you were like, wow, I didn't know that before?
There were a lot of things revealed to me that I didn't know before, but you know, I promised not to reveal those things. What I did reveal, you know, what I wanted to reveal or felt comfortable, you know, I put in the books. You know, the first book, you know, imagine I'm inundated with all these stories at WrightPad and other places I go to because people want to converse about that. And I've come to the end of my career. It's 2011. I'm looking for something interesting to do. And I say to myself, you know, I've always wanted to answer this question. And I really didn't care if the answer was, yes, we have aliens and whatnot. No, we don't. I really just wanted to study it close up for myself. I just wanted to answer the question for me. And I felt that the best way to go about it was to go back to the scene of the crime. And so there are four crime scenes in my first book. The first one is Exeter, New Hampshire, where in 1965, a man by the name of Norman Muscarello is walking down Kensington Road trying to get back to Exeter, and a 90-foot UFO comes out, and it hovers over this farmhouse, over the Clyde Russell farmhouse. And he eventually gets in the town and goes back out to the site with a police officer, and the object comes back over the head, and a second police officer shows up. So it's on record that the three of them are standing underneath a 90-foot UFO 100 feet over the head for 10 minutes. The rest of the town has seen it. It's written in the book. Incident at Exeter by John Fuller becomes a very famous story. So I find myself in the Boston area, and I got an afternoon, and I had done a lot of study. So I go to the Clyde Russell farmhouse, and who do I find there? I find the son of Clyde Russell. He's 80 years old. And he takes me around the property, and he shows me where the UFO was, and he showed me where Norman was when he first encountered it. And he gives me names of people who also saw it but didn't go on the record because they had prominent occupations. He takes me to a couple of their houses. He lets me interview them. It's a fascinating thing. This happens in 2008. I'm going, holy cow, there is something to this. So I start to do my research, and as the years go on, opportunities happen. I get to meet Colonel Halt. I get to meet John Burroughs of Rendlesham fame. I eventually get to know Jim Penniston, who actually wrote the endorsement for my most recent book. I got to spend the day with Travis Walton at the site of his incident. And so now I'm doing what I promised myself I would do. I would take these stories to bedrock, and I would go to the places that they happen. And I did go to Rendlesham and spend some time there, you know, going through the forest, you know, a couple days at the base and all that, and talking to the witnesses, either there or new witnesses or old witnesses, and look them in the eyes. then I would make a decision. And it was after I had kind of gained this knowledge and realized there's something to this thing. There's a lot of smoke here. There's a lot of fire here. That's when I thought, you know what? I'm going to put this out there because I can present this material in kind of a lighthearted way, and that's what I wound up doing. And so that was my modus operandi, and I did that in my second book, and I did that in my third book. I had the people who lived the stories, and I recorded them and then put their stories out in the form of a book.
Yeah, and it's all just swamp gas, right?
It's all swamp gas.
You know, yeah. Dr. Hynek really, really had to live that one down.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think J. Allen Hynek ever quite lived that one down.
No, he didn't. And I do take exception to what he did, and I explain why. And I did that on swamp gas because I wanted people to understand what was going on. When I do these talks, not like little small talks, 30, 40 people, get them in a library somewhere, and then afterwards we can go have a beer and talk about it. You'd be amazed at how many people think that Hynek was telling the truth in his career. They don't realize that Hynek was a paid debunker. They think, oh, he was this great researcher, but they don't know what happened before 1970.
Yeah, he was basically employed by the Air Force to find reasonable or unreasonable explanations to the phenomenon.
He was, and, you know, you reap what you shall sow. I'm not a big fan of his. Yeah, he did great things afterwards, but he only did it for the bucks. And I think he set ufology back 20 or 30 years.
Well, I think one of the main points from your books is that we're dealing with a real phenomena, and if people just actually do their research, read your books, they can come to the conclusion that it's not just swamp gas. There is something actually going on, despite what the pundits are saying.
Ray Shemansky is our guest this week. In fact, Ray is going to hang with us for our premium show after the Paracast for Paracast Plus members with Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg. So much more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News.
King Charles and Prince William greeted the masses that have stood in line for hours to see the coffin of Queen Elizabeth II. Her Majesty's state funeral is set to take place on Monday. President Biden is expected to be in attendance. The Justice Department is appealing an order that bars it from using documents that were seized at former President Trump's Florida estate as expected. A Trump-appointed judge denied a similar motion on Thursday. Yeshiva University abruptly suspended all student club activities after the U.S. Supreme Court ordered the Orthodox Jewish school to recognize an LGBTQ student group. The justices on Wednesday, in a 5-4 vote, lifted a temporary hold on a court order telling the school to do so. And in Puerto Rico, they're under a hurricane warning as Fiona, which is currently a tropical storm, is heading towards the island. I'm Kenneth Burns, USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
In talking to Travis Walton, and we've had him on the Paracast, talking to John Burroughs, Colonel Halt, about Rendlesham, and we've had them on the show as well, did you come out, Ray, with any new insights into these cases?
Well, prior to Jim Penniston releasing his book, there were a lot of nefarious characters actively mixing up the story, obfuscating it. In fact, some of the people who were doing it, that were hired to do it, were some of the participants, the military guys who were on the base, who, you know, were in a position to maybe take a little extra cash. And they started a sprinkling of the stories by going into bars in that area and saying, oh, yeah, I was there. And, you know, just throwing out BS, just laying it on thick, because they were trying to just put a lot of confusion out there. And it worked. Until Jim Penniston published his book, that confusion was still out there. So what I did is when I had a chance to talk to Burroughs or Colonel Halt, I would ask them some very specific questions. I've had great discussions with Monroe Nevels, for example. He was in charge of safety and, of course, the nuclear stuff that was on the base. So I asked them very specific questions because I was maybe trying to run some factoids that I thought were important to me to understand to be true or false. And then I could make some progress in understanding the validity of the case and the nuances. They would help me along by maybe correcting things like, you know, were you actually called out to do this? What were the exact dates? You know, a lot of that was in the balance until Jim Penniston came out with his book. Those factoids are nothing that, you know, aren't public at the time, but they probably, I mean, aren't public now, but at the time, they probably were known to a very limited audience. And so to answer your question, yeah, I'm sure at the time I could have scooped somebody on it, but I was not in a real position to, you know, tell people what was told to me largely in confidence. So, yeah, now with Travis, That was really interesting. You know, you're aware that Jennifer Stein did that movie Travis Walton, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so good. Everybody's nodding their heads. So here I am at one of the international UFO congresses, and I knew that at the end of that week I was going to try to locate by myself the site of the Walton incident. And I had talked to people. I had done studies and maps, and I knew I could get within 100 yards. So I'm there, and I'm at a dinner with Jennifer Stein, and I tell Jennifer what my plans are, that, hey, I'm going to find this place, and, you know, any help she could give me would be greatly appreciated. So before I could blink my eye, Jennifer turns and goes, hey, Travis, come over here. I'm like, what? It turns out he was at the end of the table. There was like 20 of us at this dinner, and she calls Travis over, and the deal was, is I had my professional camera with me. She said, I want you to take photographs of some of these tree stumps because they're very unusual, and I might put them in my movie. Well, it did in fact happen. I took the photos when I went up there with Travis because he's the one who pointed out the stumps that I needed to photograph, and those photos made it into her movie. But the deal was, Ray, if you go shoot those photographs for me, I know somebody who's going to show you where it happened to Travis. And so Travis is standing there, and she goes, Travis, next week Ray's going to go to the site. I want you to go with him. It blew my mind. I'm like, this is way beyond the help that I was asking for, but man, I'm going to take it. So I went up there for a couple of days. Travis met me. We spent from about like 2 o'clock in the afternoon till about 7 o'clock, maybe 6:30 in the evening, shooting photos, showing me the tree stumps. And here's what he does, and I want to share this with your your audience. The sun is going down. It's late February, and it's kind of like the same seasonal thing because this stuff happened in November. There's a light snow falling. Yeah, there's just a glint of sunlight. And I don't even ask him, but he starts to point, and he goes, you see that road over there? And I'm kind of like, yeah. He said, well, that was a logging road, and we were coming down that road, and he's pointing, and I'm following his finger, and he says, you know, we got to that point right there, and we're looking up at, to where we're standing, and I see this light. And he's telling me the story as it happened. As I'm standing there in the fading daylight, and it's just me and Travis, and he's telling me the story. And, you know, for me, that was better than any lie detector possible. The way he told the story, the pacing, the voice, the volume, pointing everything out, you know, as it happened, running out of the truck. It's kind of like, you know, a religious experience. You know, you go visit, I don't know, the Anne Frank house in Amsterdam. There's just this feeling you come out with, and that's the way I left that moment with Travis.
All right, so I have to ask, what was up with the stumps that you had to take pictures of?
Well, as I observed, and now that I knew where the UFO, the flying saucer, had hovered, there was a centroid, and starting at about 15 feet out, think of, I don't know, like spiral, I spiraled out. And there were these trees that had been cut by various people, like James Fox was up there and cut some trees. National Geographic was up there. Other people who had done some studies had gone up there. And I just took the photographs. He just said, take the pictures, take the pictures. That's all I did. That's all I concerned myself with. But then I marked them on a map, you know, like you're tree A1 and you're at 6 o'clock 15 feet from this centroid, and you're A2, I'm moving clockwise, and you're 18 feet out and whatever. And I also had an aerial photograph that I could reference later. So when all was said and done, only about 4 or 5 of the trees we could chisel enough snow and ice off of them to get a real good, clear, crisp picture, because a lot of them, you know, had sat there since 75 in the elements and had deteriorated. What we were looking at were the rings, the growth rings. And when I sat down and blindly plotted out the locations on an aerial photograph of the site and then looked at the rings, the rings grew exponentially larger in the direction of where the UFO was hovering, regardless of where it was on the clock face. So if it was at 6 o'clock, meaning one side was facing, you know, up towards 12 o'clock, and we plotted it, there was normal growth on the south end of that tree stump. But if you look on the north end of it, and closest to the flying saucer where it was hovering, it's clearly evident that that tree stump, something influenced a much more advanced growth rate on that part of the tree. And it was consistent with five different trees, which were really the only ones that were good enough to actually have, you know, the rings were clear enough and they weren't degraded. And other people have studied my work. I did a report on it. Jen has it. It was used in a documentary recently. So, and it's in Jen's movie. So that's very, very, very unusual. But I didn't know what we were looking for until after I was plotting these, and then I discussed it with Jen.
Any possible way of knowing how long this this influence lasted on the trees?
And before we have that answer, let's have a cliffhanger. Let's hang that cliff with Ray and Gene. And Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka fan, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Ranger Szymanski and Gene Steinberg and Tim Swartz exploring Ray's various books, including the first one, Evidence of Extraterrestrial Visitation to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and the second book, which I'm looking at the title of now. Don't tell me what it is, but I'm looking here. It is called Victoria's Secret Truth. Gotta talk about that title, okay? And Swamp Gas My You Know What. I could say the word.
Yes, you can. It's in the Bible.
Sure. Right, it sure is. That title, Victoria's Secret Truth, are we talking about naked aliens or what?
No, Victoria is a beautiful woman, but I've never seen her naked. So her name is Victoria. And she has a very interesting story. It took me a year to convince her to let me investigate it, because she said, well, I just have all these little random snippets and whatever, and she hadn't been regressed at that point. So I had met her, I think, in 2012 or 13 at the International UFO Congress, just met her and her boyfriend at the time, the very first two people I ever met at any UFO Congress. We hit it off. We did a couple things, you know, just, hi, how you doing? You know, say hello. But I got to talk with her in some private conversations, and, you know, my spidey sense went up, because by then I'm talking to experiencers. I'm learning a lot more about it. And I said, you know, Victoria, there's something going on here. And then she wound up having 4 regressions. And in those regressions, she clearly discovers that she's been an experiencer since she was about 4 or 5 years old. And thusly, it was her secret truth, because she did not mention it to anybody. Well, her boyfriend knew, but her family didn't know, and she never spoke about it. And it literally took me an entire 12 months after I interviewed her for several hours and went, look, I'm impartial here, but you have a great story here, and I think it's a story that should go out, because I believe it's going to help people like you that don't know that something's happening to them. And we can leave enough breadcrumbs where if somebody reads this book, and it has already happened, that folks that I knew personally in my personal life read my book because I wrote it, and that said, you're not going to believe this, but I think I'm an experiencer, and, you know, have gone off and investigated their situation a lot deeper than they ever would have had they not read the book.
Before her regressions, what made her think that she was having unusual experiences?
3-fingered bruises on both arms, and a strange sensation that she was floated through a wall. Some those kind of conscious things. So she had triangular like marks, like if you were to take a branding iron, each with a dot, and they were equal spaced. So there was a lot of physical things showing up in her body, and these murky recollections. So she had these murky recollections, and then she was putting it together with these physical traces, then start talking to people that were experiencers and got very suspicious, then eventually had a regression with Dr. Leo Sprinkle, and that was kind of the slam dunk. And then she wound up having another regression with Dr. Sprinkle, one with Yvonne Smith, and then one with Barbara Lamb.
When it comes to regression, one of the big fears is that the hypnotist will put things in the mind of the experiencer that may alter or add to remembrances. Have you considered that?
Well, that's baloney, and I haven't wasted a lot of time on it, because you have to think about this. Certainly there's going to be discussion prior, but you're going... your first regression is with Dr. Leo Sprinkle, who I might add wrote the foreword for Victoria's Secret Truth, because he had obviously insight into the case. And you can read what he read if you flip the cover over. Actually, he wrote the foreword and the endorsement. It does him no good to try to influence her into saying something that he already knows is true, because he's done 2,000 experiencer regressions by then, and he knows that it's not going to do his client any good. So there's absolutely zero motivation for any reputable person like Dr. Sprinkle to do anything like that. Now, I will tell you that I had a conversation with a psychiatrist who works for the Central Intelligence Agency, and that psychiatrist tried to convince me that all of these regressions were hokey. Well, it immediately told me what side of the fence they were sitting on and what their agenda was in having a meeting with me. So when that person told me about what you just mentioned as a possibility, I knew that no reputable hypnotherapist would ever do that.
I'm not saying they would do it deliberately. I'm saying that the process
may
result.
Would never happen. Would never. There's no need to. Now there is a path where they'll say, "Look at what do you want to investigate?" And they'll say, "All right, I remember being on a ship. It was silver. They had me down, and the guy at the end of the table was a reptilian." So they've given them that information. They will certainly use that information to try to go forward. And they'll say, "Okay, Victoria, you told me you were on a silver ship. They laid you on a table, and at the end of the table was a reptilian. Let's go from there." That's what they will do. They will not go, "Tell me about the grays that are sitting next to you." So throw that out the window. Throw it out. Not going to happen.
Yeah, Dr. Sprinkle had had a pretty long history of the hypnotic regressions and seemed to know what he was doing, unlike some other people who may have had like a, I don't know what you would call it, mail order a study on how to hypnotize people. But yeah, I mean, Leo Sprinkle had some really interesting cases.
I should tell you, when we mentioned mail order courses, I took 2 mail order courses in hypnosis when I was maybe 19 or 20 years of age. I actually hypnotized somebody with a post-hypnotic suggestion to forget about smoking, not to smoke, to give up smoking, and that if he tried it, it would taste very bitter. And it worked for a while. And then his friends kept egging him on. "Don't you want to smoke? Don't you want to smoke?" And eventually he resumed his habit. But I thought I had success. And this is just some crazy guy from Brooklyn, New York, paying a couple of dollars for some mail order course.
Yeah, but the people who regress Victoria are world-class experts. And
no, I understand that. It's just the use of the word mail order. You get someone like me, not one person like them.
Certainly, yeah. So that was never even a consideration. And I have sat through individuals being regressed. I've seen what happens. I've been to comedy shows where they got guys clucking like chickens. So I know what could be done, but there's not a chance that Smith, Lamb, or Sprinkle led there. In fact, I have the recordings. So I'm absolutely positive that didn't happen and can prove it.
Well, I just think of a post-hypnotic suggestion here that E.T. made them cluck like chickens.
Huh.
No, I understand what the point that you're making here. Of course, we've had Kathleen Martin, who's a hypnotherapist, on the show a number of times. So we do understand the point of view of just trying to get the information from somebody, not leading them in the wrong direction.
There's no profit. There's no reason that they would do that.
Well, what were some of the things revealed in Victoria's regressions?
Well, the most unusual, and I did a site visit because, again, I take these things all the way to bedrock. I went to Colorado, where Victoria lives, and, did a visit where one of her incidents took place, and, in fact, where something happened to her grandson, and I got to interview him at length and have him walk me through what had happened. One of the most interesting, intriguing, unbelievable things is that her body began to vibrate. She started to slip down foot first off her bed towards a wall, and the wall had a window, and she was vibrated right through the wall onto a waiting flying saucer.
Okay, that's certainly a nice way of transport. Beats any other place. Anyway, we'll get more into that in our next segment with Ray, Jean, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.